and are watching to do so through the website as well. God bless you as you give unto the Lord. I know that we are flooded with information these days. We try to stay in touch with you. We try to keep you informed. But some will still say, oh, I didn't get an email, or I didn't see an email, or things like this. So for those of you who are watching and those who are with us today, we will be having a Zoom informational meeting, kind of a testimony and some teaching on this prayer and fasting that we're about to embark on Wednesday evening. The link will go out for you to log on to that, and I encourage everyone to do so. I continue to be excited in my spirit about what God is going to do through our time in prayer and fasting, but not only that, I believe he's going to unveil his plan for 2022 to the body of Christ as well. And, you know, what I'm finding, even after all these years, how necessary it is for me to discern his voice. No matter what time of the day it is. And, you know, he has the prerogative to interrupt your plans, to interrupt your day, even interrupt your sleep, which he seems to be doing with me quite a bit in recent months. And I had planned on preaching something else today until I was instructed to not do so. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me a verse from Hebrews chapter 4 in the middle of the night. And then when I got up, I started writing down the things he was saying to me. So let's just read the chapter. We're not going to preach on every single verse, but I think it's good just to read the shorter chapter, 16 verses. And most likely in your Bible, the heading is The Believer's Rest for this chapter. And it talks about this also in Hebrews chapter 3. But it's one of God's provisions that comes with your redemption and salvation. So Hebrews 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may seem to come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was, what? Not united by faith in those who heard. For we, that's you, that's me, we who have believed enter that rest just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, actually in Genesis chapter 2, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached, the gospel preached to them, failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying, through David, after so long a time, just as has been said, today, if you hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. Seek to hear his voice and then respond to it in obedience. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, speaking of the Father and Jesus and Holy Spirit, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is sharper. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge or discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There are 6 different verbs in the New Testament that are translated rest. But in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, the word that is used is the word that we would get in the English, the word pause. You know, not animal pause. Pause, take a break. P-A-U-S-E, to cease or to rest. And so for our purposes this morning, Webster's Dictionary defines rest as a freedom from activity, peace of mind or spirit, to be free from anxiety or disturbances, to remain confident or to trust. Rest is a choice. Rest is a state of mind. You can say you're resting, but your mind is like a mile a minute. I call it the Rolodex in my head. That usually happens when you get ready to pray or such times that you devote to hearing from the Lord. Just everything floods your mind. But rest is a choice. It's a state of mind. You can cease from activity but not be at rest. You can close your eyes and say, I'm resting. But you're really not, because your mind is not at rest. Your mind is not at peace. Rest for the believer is a provision from Jesus Christ for you to be at peace, a place of trust, security, confidence, strength, and faith. All those things describe the believer's rest and more. So this morning we're going to dive into his provision or his place of rest. That's the title. And I love it when a plan comes together. You will notice from the songs we sang, you're going to see most of the words that I have as points this morning. First one, speaks to his provision of rest is restoration from verse 1. We sang that, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. It says in verse 1, the promise remains for entering his rest. The Passion would render that, resting in confident faith, so we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. You know, we can sometimes read the Bible, but it doesn't get from here to here. See, that's a short distance, but it's a very important one. We have to digest the word. We have to allow it to impact our spirit, which in turn impacts our life and our behavior. Restoration. Psalms 23:3. He restores my soul. He guides me for his name's sake into paths of righteousness. You know, I don't always want to do the right thing. I know you don't either. But when the unction comes on you, he gives you that power to make the right choices, to say the right things. He restores your soul and he guides you. To restore is to put back into a former or original state, to renew. In the Gospels, just a couple of examples here. That word renew is translated heal. So when we read Mark 8:25, it says, his eyesight was renewed or healed when Jesus performed that miracle. Luke 6:10, he said, stretch out your hand, and it was renewed or made new or healed. So there's a distinction here that's related to healing, restoring, in other words, to where it should be. Psalms 103:3, the Lord who heals all your diseases. Psalms 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So what does that mean? We need to place ourselves. We need to occupy our position of rest. It's there. It's promised. It's free, but it's a choice. And you cannot allow people, which is usually what happens, to ruffle you, or things or circumstances to get you to vacate that God-given promised position of the rest he provided, the restoration he provided at the cross of Calvary. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares or anxiety on him because he cares for you. So we need to receive and walk in this restoration, this provision of restoration and rest. A second aspect of his provision of or place of rest is redemption, from verse 3. For we who have believed, anybody here that's believed? We who have believed enter. We receive that rest. Verse 2, for we have had good news preached to us, but the word needs to be united by faith. That literally means, if we were to translate that, when it says united by faith, what it's saying is mixed together or agreeing with faith. the word. When it goes out, you have a choice. You can try to analyze it, or you just receive it by faith. Well, that doesn't make sense. I know that's what God says, but I know I'm looking at my circumstances, and my circumstances don't say what that verse says. Well, don't allow the circumstances to invalidate the word of God by how you behave or what you speak. Romans 10, 15 to 17. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things, or good news. The gospel is talking about the preached word. Isaiah 52, 7 is what it's referring to. We don't need to go there. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, the word, the gospel. For Isaiah 53, 1 says, Lord, who has believed our report? Romans 10, 17. Didn't read the whole scripture. So faith comes from what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of Christ. And so the word goes out, you hear it, and you either receive it or you reject it. And that's why sometimes, you know, you could quote scripture till the cows come home to somebody, and they're like, nope, I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. Because there's something blocking their receptors. But that ought not to be for the believer. Because he's made his provision of redemption very clear. Not just a one time, you were born again in such and such a time, such and such a place, such and such a year. But if you're like me, I get redeemed every single day. I need him to redeem me every single day so that I don't go my own way, do what I feel like doing or think is the right thing to do. I need to check in with headquarters multiple times a day. Oh, yeah. You mean you, Pastor? I'm like, yes. Absolutely. James 1, 21 and 22. In humility, receive the word implanted, or King James renders that engrafted, which is able to what? Save your souls. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers. It seems like another lifetime when I was in Bible school in the early 1980s. But when I was, wow, can't even believe it, in my 30s. Probably I was 31 or 32, and our son Joshua was born, and I wasn't ready for how it was going to hit me. I was really impacted by my responsibilities. Now I'm a dad. I just took me by surprise. And so I took a sabbatical from my Bible school education, and I worked on staff there at the Bible school. And not surprisingly, I revamped the whole campus landscape-wise. And the founder was heavily into agriculture, and in fact, there was acres and acres of farmland that was made available to the staff and students to have gardens and so forth. One of the things that fell under my responsibility was the orchard. And it was a mess. It was overgrown, And does that sound like your life was before Jesus? It was just here, there, and everywhere. And I took a saw to it. I took pruning tools to it. But once I got into it, I noticed these particular trees. And I'm like, one side of the tree was yellow delicious, and the other side of the tree, same tree, was red delicious. I'm like, what the heck? And so there's a process called grafting. Remember the scripture says here, the word engrafted, or the word implanted. So you actually have to cut the bark on one tree, and you take a shoot from another tree, you bind them together. See the visual thing here. You bind them together, and once they heal, they begin to produce. And so you had on one side of the tree, yellow, and the other side, red. And this is what the word will do when we receive it in all its fullness. Once we allow it to heal us, once we allow it to impact us, when we give it a place to be implanted, it does its work. The word implanted. That word actually means in verse 21 to become a part of. So it speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory, how we allow him and his presence and his Holy Spirit a place to call home. So we need to demonstrate, James says, what we believe and what we speak and what we do at the direction of the Holy Spirit. Enter his provision of redemption and rest. It says in Psalms 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. It means we got to talk about Jesus. We got to tell people, this is what Jesus has done for me. This is how my life has changed. I'll tell you, people who knew me in high school or college don't recognize me. Not because I've gained weight and gray hair. I'm a different person because of him. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. The third aspect, if you will, of your position or your place of rest in him is refreshment. Verse 9. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. You know, there are many things, or chores, or you name it. The list never ends, right? Even the honeydew list. Those of you who are married. You work on it, and there's just as many things on the list. What happened? But a Sabbath rest means you can wait. It'll get done. It will get done when you trust him, when you commit those things to him, when you get the refreshment that he will provide in his presence and with your fellow believers in Christ. Refresh means to restore strength, to revive, to replenish. So, a Sabbath rest is referring back to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3, where the creation account, 6 days, and then God says, I think I'm going to rest. I'm happy with what I've done. Paraphrasing, of course. God blessed the seventh day, verse 3, sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. So the heart attitude for the believer is to honor God and submit your plans to him, setting aside regular work activity to worship, to be refreshed, so that on Monday, or for some, Sunday, if their Sabbath is on a Saturday, you can start fresh, you can start renewed, ready to tackle all the issues that were there before, but you just set them aside, trusted God to refresh you so that you would have fresh strength. Both spiritually and physically. But most importantly, setting aside the Lord's Day or the Sabbath is to be refreshed by his presence. And by interacting and being encouraged and built up in your faith by others of like mind. That's why you cannot just watch online indefinitely. You have to be here in person so that you can be interacting with one another. Not trying to make you, give you a guilt trip. I'm just saying it's not the same. It's like you can say, I'm going to watch that conference online, but being there, oh man, you'll be impacted in a whole different way. That's all I'm saying. Refreshed by his presence and fellowship with others. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. It's not just talking about prayer. It's talking about worship. It's talking about fellowship. It's talking about rubbing shoulders or even sparks. Talks about in the Old Testament. Sparks are not a bad thing as long as we submit them to the Lord. Iron sharpens iron. That's the scripture I'm looking for. Now here in the New Testament, in the book of Philemon, or however you want to pronounce it, I'll find out when I get to heaven how he liked it. Here's what it says with that word refreshed. Philemon chapter 1, verse 7, the saints have been refreshed by you. And then he says, verse 20, refresh my heart in Christ. So that the word used there that's translated refreshed in that book means to give rest. Or to have an intermission. From labor. And Jesus talks about times like this. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we need to receive that rest and refreshment from Jesus, the giver of life. You're not going to find it anywhere else. No activity, no vacation is going to give it to you like he's going to give it to you. So make the time for rest and refreshment with the Lord, the giver of life. A fourth aspect of rest, or your position or provision of rest, is revelation. From verse 13. This is actually the verse Holy Spirit spoke to me around 4 a.m. Early Saturday. Verse 13. Hang on now, get back to it, yeah? And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open, and there it is, laid bare, naked. Laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's it. Laid bare, exposed, naked, without excuse. Reveals it how it is and says it how it is. Then we have a choice on how we're going to respond to that revelation. Rest is an opportunity for revelation to come. I find when I'm not expecting him to speak, but I'm at rest, boom. That's when the nuggets come. That's when the revelation gets dropped in my spirit. Why? I'm not allowing other things to distract me. I'm making it a priority to rest. I'm shutting off the Rolodex. You can do that, you know. It's okay to do that. In fact, it's expedient to do that a lot of the time. If you want to hear from him, that's what revelation is. You need to do just that. When you commit to rest, you set aside your plans and keep distractions to a minimum, and you open yourself up to a fresh perspective. You know how sometimes, I'm thinking of Joe and Rich, sometimes when you're working on something and you're getting frustrated, it's not working, you can't fix it, and you just have to walk away. When you come back, you have a different perspective. And I didn't see that before, because why? You were getting all angst up. You were getting all worked up. And that was getting in the way. So, getting a fresh perspective, his perspective on your problems or your challenges or your questions. Sometimes it's just a question that you'd like an answer to and you can't figure it out. That's okay. He has those answers. Have you found that out? But we have to give him that opportunity to speak and bring revelation. So when I take a day off or when I go on vacation, people say, "What are you going to do on vacation?" I say, "Nothing. I'm going to do absolutely nothing." "You mean you're not going to go?" "No, I'm going to do absolutely nothing unless he tells me to do something." That's a different matter. But I found when I take that approach, he speaks. He speaks. Revelation. It could be to something I'm crying, have been crying out for him for weeks or months or even years. But because I placed myself at his disposal, he speaks. He reveals what I need to hear, what I need to do. So I just express myself in prayer, in conversation. I don't care who's around. Guy's talking to himself over there. Yeah, he is. But actually, I'm talking to him. share my thoughts and feelings and allow him to uncover. That's what revelation is. Ah, there it is. There all along. But we were focusing on other things instead of giving it over to him. Just as a side note, the Lord has showed me some of you that are going to have breakthroughs this year. Showed me ahead of time. When did he show me? When I was up in Maine. I wasn't asking him. Boom. There it is. So if you've been looking for a breakthrough, if you've been looking for some, I'm talking life-changing. God is about to inhabit. Will you allow him to make you a habitation and not a visitation? He will lift the veil so you can see with fresh and clear vision. But you need to put yourself at his disposal. You will experience new life. Ephesians 3:19, filled up with all the fullness of God. He has what you need. That's what that scripture is pointing to. He has everything you need. He is everything you need. 2 Corinthians, if I'm getting ahead of myself here. Anybody else have trouble reading their own writing like me? So we need to put ourselves at his disposal. And number five, another aspect of your place or position of rest is renewal. We could say, which some have been speaking of, not just revival. God's not going to just bring revival, but he's going to bring renewal or reformation. That's a lot different, and it's going to look a lot different. Renewal, verse 16, which reads, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive, there it is, that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Colossians 3, 10 and 11 talks about putting on the new self and being renewed. See if I have that here. I do. And have put on the new self who is being renewed. It's a process. To a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. He is the answer. That's what it's saying. He is the provision for all men if they will only call on the name of the Lord. Here we go. Second Corinthians 4:16. Talks about the inner man being renewed day by day. Sorry about that. Therefore, do not lose heart, though your outer man is decaying. You are taking a beating. That's what Paul's saying. You are under assault. Yet, your inner man is being renewed day by day. And it continues there in the following few verses. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, again, and put on the new self. Likewise, Romans 12, 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have taken in so much crap since we were little tykes. He will renew you when you submit to him, when you allow him to be Lord, when you allow him. And we sang it this morning, I need a surgeon. I need a friend. I need one that'll come alongside me and gently bring about the healing that I need. That's Jesus, my friend, through the Holy Spirit. So you need to put your future and your life and your plans in his hands. He does all things well. I'm going to close here with Isaiah 40, 29 and following. He gives, he always gives, he gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary, and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. It's called grace. They will mount up with wings. They will soar over their problems. Their problems won't dictate to them. They will dictate to their problem. They will run and not get tired, walk and not become weary. He is your provision. He is your place of rest. And his name is Jesus. God bless you as you take these things to heart. You know, it's not a fairy tale. This is truth. This is life-changing truth. If we will only allow him to be Lord in this aspect of our life called rest. God bless you as you go out and rest today.